Well, tonight is an exciting night because we're going to get to hear a little bit about what Emmy went through in Honduras and the opportunities she had for ministry. But tonight, I want to make sure that you're not listening passively as though you're hearing a story about what happened to somebody, because this could very well be your story one day soon. I want you guys to be listening actively when you hear what she talks about here tonight, because this is something that is not just a story you listen to, but it's something she's casting into your heart. It's an understanding of what missions is about. It's an understanding of what opportunities God is opening up for us. And I want you to not just tell me, I would never go do that. I would never go to a foreign country. I would never do this stuff. I don't want you to say any of those things. I want you just to listen, and I want you to let God speak into your life. And as he does that, I want you to be obedient and come talk to me about that, because I want to hear what God's saying to you as far as missions is concerned. And so, Emmy, you had a chance to go to Honduras.
Yes.
And you went last month, right?
In January, yes.
Okay, now, most of the time when people go do a missions project, there's a specific project they're working on. You had a specific project. Why don't you explain to everybody what you did?
I did. Okay. As some of you know, a bunch of us ladies did a lot of sewing here. We made feminine hygiene kits. I couldn't remember what they were called.
Yeah, that's what they're called.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, just tell all about it. Go ahead.
I don't know how much detail I should go into, but
you can tell them whatever you want to tell them.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's a serious need there, and
it's not
a joke. So
it is. The ladies, girls in other countries don't have the products that we have here in this country. And some of them, the girls that are in school during their monthly cycle, they have to stay at home. They miss school because they don't have anything to use. So we made kits for them. Each kit contained 2 shields and 10 liners. And then we added underwear and soap and washcloth and all that. But they're washable. And when they need to wash them and hang them up, they look like washcloths. So it's very discreet, you know, not too embarrassing. But that's what we did. The church that I went with was from Ohio. It was a Church of God. And they were also sewing. The ladies here made 500 liners. And then, yeah, I was impressed, and I'd like to see them do it again and do some more if we go back to Honduras. But we took 100 kits over there. And in one village, they were all handed out except 4 kits. So that was pretty awesome, I thought. I mean, they were thrilled to have them. So that was the biggest reason I went. But boy, what a life-changing experience. It was just amazing.
So now you taught people how to make them there too, right?
Yes,
so it's
we
not
did.
Just a matter of just bringing the kits to them, right?
Right, right. It's like, you know, don't just give the people fish. Teach them how to fish. Mm-hmm. And so we taught several of the ladies there. I don't think there's any pictures of them. I had a couple pictures. I don't know how to do all that stuff, so I relied on somebody else. But we had 3 ladies over there make complete kits, so that they in turn can teach their local ladies how to make them and be self-sufficient, whatever you want to call it, so they can do it for themselves.
Okay. Well, I know that a lot of people, when they think about going on a missions trip or something like that, they kind of want to know what it's like every day and what the place is like. And okay. Can you kind of explain that to them?
It was pretty neat. It was generally, well, I'm an early riser, so I was up at 5 o'clock. I wanted to beat everybody else in the showers, you know. But it was breakfast at 7 o'clock, and we had our time for devotion. And then by 8 o'clock, we were on the bus heading out to villages. We had 2 church services every day. And should I tell them about the compound?
Yeah.
Okay. It's pretty neat. The whole compound is fenced in, so you're protected. It's gated. Nobody can come and go without their permission. And they have dorms, a dorm for ladies, and they have a dorm for guys. And they have 6 rooms where couples can stay together. If husband and wife go, they can share the rooms there. It was pretty neat. I mean, it's just amazing, and it's clean. It's really neat how it's all set up. And they have a church right there on the compound. It was, and breakfast, our meals were served there every day. They made sure that we had American food because they said, if we don't, we'll be in trouble. So they took really good care of us. And it was great. We had fresh bananas and pineapple and watermelon every morning, every day. I mean, it was really neat. But so it was great.
That's cool. Well, I know along with the project you were a part of, they did a little bit of everything with you guys, right?
They did.
So it wasn't just about doing sewing kits and stuff
right.
during the day. You did a little bit of everything. So what kind of ministry things did you do there?
The actual church services.
Those and also other things you did in the community?
Yeah, we handed out food. There was, I think, two different days that we would bag food, and it was rice and beans and what else? Sugar. Yeah, mm-hmm. sugar. And we would bag those, and then at the end of every service, the people would come through the line, and we'd hand out this food, and they were thrilled to have it. A bag of food that we, there should be a picture up there at some point of the bags of food, but one bag would feed a family of four for a week. So it was pretty amazing what can be done over there. And other than that, I mean, the men worked. They built all kinds of things. They built tables and benches and bunk beds, and some of them were mechanics, and they worked on the vehicles over there, repaired vehicles. I mean, there's just, there's masons and carpenters. There's a need for all of that over there.
Mm-hmm. So the group you went with was, I think you said, what, 31 people?
There were 31 of us that went. It was a pretty big group,
yeah.
But it was amazing. It was really amazing. I met some people. I mean, I was an outsider in that group because I'm from Virginia and the rest were all from Ohio, but they made me feel welcome, and I got to know a lot of them really well, and it was a neat experience getting to know these other people.
Well, since you got to go there and meet the pastor and meet the people on staff,
mm-hmm.
they did invite us to come back as
they
a church.
Did.
And so instead of us going with a group in Ohio, we would actually just take our own group from here, which I think would be a great opportunity. I mean, I've done
mm-hmm.
quite a few missions trips, but they've been all to South America.
Yeah.
And so this is something we're going to be offering coming up at the end of this year, maybe the first of next year. We're going to be taking a trip to Honduras, and she's going to be leading our group, and I'm going to be going as the one who coordinates all of this stuff, because somebody has to coordinate it, right?
Right.
And so, and I don't sew, but that's okay.
We can teach you.
Yeah, yeah. but I preach a little bit, so I could always do that there. Now, it was interesting, while you were there, you sent me a message from Honduras saying, you won't believe this, but they want me to preach, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do without it.
Yeah,
right. I'm reading it fast, but it's kind of how it came across, okay?
sure.
I think there was a little bit of anxiety there,
there
right?
was.
So tell us what that was about and how that
yeah.
went.
Yeah, that was pretty scary because I was asked to, well, and I felt the Lord impressing it on me. I kind of felt like Judy said the other day, you know when God's telling, because you can't hardly breathe and you get scared and you know, you got to do this. But I messaged him and asked him to please pray because I had to share my testimony, the first time I ever did anywhere. And I was so scared and so nervous, and I was just like, I can't do this. And there was a lady there that I got to be real good friends with, and I told her. I said, I am so scared. I don't know what to do. She said, we're going to pray. And I know people were praying back here. And I was, like, anxious. And I walked up, and I took a hold of the microphone, and it all left. I was as calm as could be. And it was just amazing. Was able to share. I mean, it was wild. Yeah. So I was really, I mean, I know God answers prayer. I mean, I couldn't have done that without God coming through for me because he just took over. I'm not sure I even remember what I said, but I shared anyway. So, but
I'm sure it was really good.
So
tell me about a church service. I mean, you guys had church services like twice a day.
We did.
And by the way, it's so much different than here because literally church is open all the time, every day there. So you'll have church in the morning, you'll have it in the evening, it'll be every day. And then, of course, Sunday rolls around and it's like, hey, it's a church day. How about that? You
mm-hmm.
know, it's like every day is church day.
Yep.
So what was it like there, you know, with the people and the teaching and the prayer time
it
afterwards
was,
and all that?
Yeah. That was amazing. We had two services every day, and I think every service, the building was about full. People just came from everywhere. And
you said even the dogs came, right?
Yes, we even had dogs. In every service, there was a dog. I think they have spiritual dogs over there or something. But
you know, I'm not a dog person, but I think it would be really cool to have dogs lined up listening. You know? I don't know. But anyway, that's cool. Yeah. I'm good with it.
It was amazing. But the services and the people, well, they would walk to come to church. And there was one lady that walked 5 miles carrying a baby. But she came. I mean, she wanted to be there. And it was kind of funny. I mean, some people might back up, but it didn't bother me. You go to hug them, and they're just wringing wet with sweat, you know, from walking. But they came. And I thought that was so amazing. And you talk about worship. They get into it. I mean, I think some of us were talking about we need to get up and dance. They dance. I mean, all across the front of the church, the kids get up there and really get involved and really, I mean, it's just amazing to watch them worship the Lord. Freedom.
You know, it's interesting that when someone walks 5 miles with a baby to go to church, when they get there, they're expecting something.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you don't walk that far just to think, well, I'm going to do church today.
Right.
No, because I don't think anybody here, well, I shouldn't say that. That sounds so judgmental. I don't know that we would walk that far just to come to a normal service. We'd probably go, well, the car's not running tonight, so I think I'm going to make the next service. Okay.
Right.
But if we certainly walked 5 miles and sweat through our clothes, I think when you finally got here, you'd be like, you know what, God's doing something tonight. You know what I mean? I walked a long ways for this. I'm looking forward to this. And, you know, we talked about there being a hunger with the people. It's the way that way in South America, too. Mm-hmm. Just such a hunger in the people when they come to church. What was it like there with them?
It was amazing. I mean, they really got into the worship service, but when the invitation was given at the end, if they needed prayer or whatever, the front was full every service. I mean, they were there seeking and worshiping and praising the Lord. And I don't know, I guess I can share this. The Saturday, we got there on Thursday, and Saturday evening, the service that we had, the people were coming up for prayer, and we were all asked to go up and pray. And you talk about stretching. I was stretched over there, doing things that I didn't think I could ever do. But we would go and pray for the people, and another lady and I were praying for a young girl. And we prayed for her, and we walked away. And it was like something said, go back to her. She needs something. She's wanting something. And I went back to her. And, of course, I couldn't understand her, and she couldn't understand me. But I just was praying and asked, God can interpret. I mean, let her know. I was just praying, Lord, you know, show me what it is that she's after, what she needs. And tears just started running down her face. So I got an interpreter, and I said, I need to know what is on her heart. And she wanted to get saved. So I had the opportunity of praying with her and leading her to the Lord. That was just amazing. That was amazing.
You know, something happens when people are in the mission field because they'll ask you to do things like you're a pastor or whatever, and you just do it. Like, I can't even explain it, but I took people that wouldn't in a million years do anything like that, and then the people walked up to him and said, I need you to come up here and pray with this person. They're like, all right, I'll go, you know? And I just know, Jason, that one of these days you're going to go on one of these trips, and then they're going to say, you know, Jason, I know God's given you a word, and you're going to just stand up and just preach like nobody's business, you know what I mean? You know, God does miracles, you know what I mean? I just know it's going to happen one day. But it's cool to know that God gives you everything you need in the moment, right?
Yes, he does.
But
absolutely.
It's funny, though, when you come back here, I've noticed that you haven't come up to be on the prayer team. We have a boldness there that we don't always have here. So I'm not trying to front you in front of everybody right now.
You just did.
But let me just tell you this. The courage you had in Honduras is the same courage you have in Covington, right? That you get to stand up and do the very things you did before because now God's showing you can do it.
Yeah.
There's no backing up now, right?
I know.
Yeah.
And why is it you're more... Yeah. You're more afraid back here where people know you.
Why is that?
I don't know.
I don't really care what they think, do you?
No. No.
In the end, people want to be prayed for. How many of you just need some prayer sometimes when you walk in here?
Amen.
Would you let Amy pray with you?
Yes.
course you would. Because the thing is, you have the ability to do that, you know? And the thing about it is that what God empowered in Honduras is still empowered today. He's not limited by geography or people.
Right.
Right.
Yes,
even though these people are scarier than those Hondurans, you know?
They are. They're bigger than us.
It's going to be okay. Well, that's true for about everybody but Parker, okay?
Okay. Well, the Hondurans were all my size. You know, I mean, they're, you know.
Yeah, you were in your place, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
So, I know that God did some things in you while you were gone. He made some changes in you.
He did.
Because I don't think that 6 months ago we would be sitting here having this conversation. Mm-mm. As a matter of fact, you would have said no to this.
Probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's some stuff that God's done in you that you really should probably talk to them about. But some things you kind of learned in the process about Him and about yourself and everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I've learned a lot. It's not about me. It's not about me, it's about Him. And wanting to serve and to reach out to people, that's what's important. And those people were so hungry for it, and I know there's people here, maybe not in this congregation, but there's people in our community that need the same thing that they wanted over there. And I want to be able to do that. And it changed my outlook. We are so blessed. I mean, those people are so poor, and material things don't matter. It's not the material things that count. It's how we affect other people, showing them the love of Christ. Yeah, it changed my whole, material things are nothing. I mean, I don't want to throw everything away, but, you know,
right.
But it's that's not what's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gives you a whole new perspective on
it
things.
It does.
And, you know, the thing is, I remember going to Colombia, and the first time I preached in Bogota, it actually was pretty dangerous there at the time because they had bodyguards around us at the stage so that they wouldn't rush us and kill us. I mean, it was very, very dangerous there. It's not so much like that now in Bogota, but when we first got there, it was pretty rough. And I remember preaching one night about worry. And the Bible says, do not worry because, you know, God takes care of the lilies of the field and everything. You don't need to worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear because look what He's done for them. And these are things that grow today and tomorrow are thrown into the fire. Imagine how much more He'll do for His people. And I thought, you know, you could just see they had worry too. You know what I mean? And their worries are different. Like the things that they are concerned about is, I don't know when I'm going to eat next.
Mm-hmm.
We had kids that were coming to the church service whose parents had been gone 4 and 5 days and left them on a mountainside with 1 million other kids. And that's not a joke, 1 million. Mm-hmm. And they were living there with nothing to eat, waiting for mom to get home. And it's been 4 or 5 days since they've had anything to eat. They find themselves coming to the church. And they're concerned. You can see concern on their faces because their issues are much different, much bigger than ours. You know, we're concerned when the car doesn't start just right or we're having a little conflict at work with somebody. Something like that. They're concerned about whether they're going to survive. So they're dealing with some really, really hard issues. But as I began to preach that message, I began to see that people are just people everywhere, you know? I mean, the Word of God touched them the same way the Word of God touches people here. And people are just people. We're all dealing with our stuff. And I just really, it kind of takes you down to what really matters, you know? And I thought that a lot of the things that bothered me before I actually went down there, none of them really mattered. Right. I came home and I thought, I don't have issues, you know. I just really don't have any more problems. I'm okay, you know. And I think that it's like an attitude correction. It's like a correction to your life and a correction to your perspective when you go down there and see all that.
It does.
What are some of the things you saw when you were there that were kind of hard for you?
A lot of it was, I mean, there's real poverty there. I mean, the houses that they live in literally do not have doors on them. The windows don't have any glass in it. It's open. And I wasn't actually in any of the homes, but I heard some of them even have dirt floors yet. And it's pretty amazing. I mean, you come home and you feel like you live in a castle, like you live in a mansion compared to what they live with. And yet, they're a very loving people. Everybody wants to be hugged. You know, they're there hugging on you and loving on you. And it was just neat how no matter who was poor or who had a little something, they were all searching and eager to reach out or to have us reach out to them. It was just a neat experience. I can't really explain it. I don't know exactly. It was just different. It was just different. They were an amazing people, searching.
So what would you impart to them if you could give them anything that you learned that you would say, this is one of the main things I would like to leave you with? What is it that you tell them?
I had made notes of this, what God was showing me, and I left my notes at home, so now only he knows what it was.
Well, a lot of good that did. You know?
Yeah, right.
But God's still here with you, so it's okay. He knows.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
I know. it was just, it will change your whole outlook on life if you go over there. And I know there's poor people in this country, too. But seeing what some of them live with, and literally not knowing where the next meal is coming from, it really makes you stop and think and thank God for what you have. But being able to reach out to them and help them a little bit in the way that we did while we were there, that was amazing.
Well, you know, when I think I've been to Bogota like maybe 4 or 5 times now, and every time I go, you know, I go there to serve, I go there to teach, I go there to do whatever they need me to do. It doesn't really matter what it is. But when I'm there, and this is true for life here, it's not just what happens in South America or in Honduras, but when you get out of yourself for just a little bit, and you are completely focused on others and doing for others, God begins to speak into your life, because you're finally out of your own head. You know what I mean? And I don't mean you're out of your head, okay, because that has a different meaning, but you guys hear what I'm saying. When you finally get over yourself for just a little bit to where you're just considering others and you're working with others and you're there to pour out, God begins to talk to you about you. And he begins to talk to you about what he has planned for your life. There's something that happens inside of us. There's a stillness that happens inside of us where we can hear the Lord differently than we've ever heard him before. Because all the distractions are gone, all the you is out of the way. And all you have to do is sit and listen to what God is speaking to you, and he will tell you things that will blow your mind. He'll show you things about yourself that need to change, and those are not things that you feel knocked down over. You're just like, I have some room to grow here. I see something I didn't see before. But mostly he'll begin to show you what his vision is for your life and where he wants you to go, and you'll have some very clear direction when you come back. Every time I've ever gone, God has given me some incredibly clear direction for the church here. And, you know, you would think that, hey, God's going to use me down here, and I'll stay a little longer, and I'll do a little bit more here. And God said, I just needed you to get quiet for a little bit. You know, it's like you thought you were coming down to bless, and you're doing that, but I've come to bless you too. And through it all, and God has spoken some pretty crazy stuff to my life, and he's made a lot of corrections, and he's made a lot of changes to me when I finally got quiet enough to hear it. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's what's happened with you, because you are way different than when I first met you. Mm. Way different. God has done some stuff in you, and I can say that he has put a love in your heart for people that goes way beyond anything you ever had when I met you.
That's true.
I don't mean you're a bad person or anything. And no. I know sometimes people hear the positive, and then they turn it around, flip it in their head, and turn it into, like, what he's really saying is he didn't like me before. That's not what I'm saying. So just listen to the positive side, okay? That God has given you a stability now, and you have calmed down and you're peaceful inside. And he's done some stuff in you that couldn't have been done any other way. And I don't know that you ever would have seen all these things coming a long time ago. You know, but God has done a work in you and walked you down a road that has been nothing short of amazing. And I know God is going to use you in lots of ways because he's been doing that. But I really believe God's going to use you in raising a missions team from this church to go do the very things that God's done in you. And he's going to begin to multiply that effect in the lives of the people here in our church, and he's going to use you to do that. And I'm excited about that.
Well, I am too. And boy, I tell you. I would encourage any of you, all of you, whoever, to go on a mission trip, to go over there. It will change you. It will change the way you see things. It will change how important you think yourself is. You know, that's not proper English, but anyway, how important you are We're not. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about Him. Amen. And reaching others for Him.
So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be putting together a trip, and people can sign up for that. But one thing I want you to know, and these are some things you need to know about missions trips, is that when we go on these things, we're there to bless the people, and it's not about us at all. So we need to have our hearts clear. Mm-hmm. And in a place where we're ready to serve, and we don't take baggage with us. Mm-hmm. We're there to eat what they give us to eat, to do what they ask us to do with no questions. Mm-hmm. And we're there to absolutely serve the people in whatever capacity they need us, even if they ask you to do a roof and you've never set foot on a roof, you know, as long as it's mm-hmm. safe, of course. That's what we need to do. You know, if they ask you to do something like, you know, work with people, pray with people, even teach, that you're willing and open to doing that, because we're going to all be there. We can all help you. We're in this thing together, you know. There needs to be a flexibility that maybe you've not had before, but it's what's required for this. Because when you serve the Lord like this and you open yourself up, what you're basically saying is, God, I'll do it your way, and I'm going to put all of my stuff aside. And everything I've ever wanted, everything I've ever thought was important, things I said I would never eat, whatever the case is, I will do it all because I choose to serve God in this time, and I really want to hear what He has to say. Because the thing about this is that these experiences can be some of the most life-changing experiences if we let them be. But if we let them be about us while we're there, it'll just be another day for us. And that's not what this is about. This is about blessing and God blessing and God speaking and us hearing and life changing, you know? And that's what God does in these experiences. And so I really would like it if you would to begin to pray. What would God have you do? We can take groups up to 36. I don't know that I have a stomach for that first trip out. I think maybe maybe we'll do about 12 or 15 for the first trip out just to see how it all goes. Mm-hmm. But we'd like to continue to work with this group. This group is a Church of God group, right?
That's who I went with. I'm not sure what Pastor Luis is. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's Christian. That's good enough.
That's born again. Yeah. That's right.
We're not really concerned about denominations and things like that. Right. We all serve the Lord. And until we can act like a church together, then we really have some growing to do. And so it really, to me, it doesn't make any difference. We're there to serve the people, and I think it's a great opportunity. And he's opened it up for our church.
He has.
And so we'll be planning that. But I want you to be praying about that. Now, they're also doing some other stuff here that they just sent you today, right?
Yes. Pastor Luis's daughter is in charge of this. But the kids over there, unless they have a sponsor, a lot of them can never go to school. And it is a pretty neat program. I think there's a place in Tennessee that you would actually send your money to, and they'd take it over there. But for a child in elementary school, it only costs $250 a year for their school year, and that buys their uniforms, their school supplies, shoes, everything that they need for the whole year, which I think is pretty amazing. I mean, that's not expensive at all, I don't think. And then for the high school students, it's $500 a year, and that will go for their uniforms and, you know, all their supplies, everything that is needed. So, you know, if anybody would be interested, I've got the information that, it goes to Central American Ministries in Tennessee somewhere. But they can handle that. We can send it to them, and they will send it on to Honduras. So I thought that was a pretty neat opportunity. That's a outreach ministry in itself, helping the kids, you know, going to school and getting an education.
So Pastor Luis also sent you some projects that are upcoming, right?
Yes.
Can you pull that up real quick?
Yes, let me see.
Just to kind of give you guys an idea of what's going on there.
Okay. Okay. You want what the projects are, what it would cost?
Yeah, just a few of the projects.
The projects, they do food for families. One bag of food costs $5 US. They usually take about 150 bags every time they go to a village. And then if they're doing a floor, a lot of them are concrete. I mean, poured concrete. That's $500 for a floor. To build a roof, it's $500. He says here, you can bring preachers, carpenters, car mechanics, masons, ladies to sew, whatever. You know, there's all kinds of things that can be done. And he said all ages are welcome from 0 to 80. So that basically includes everybody. So, but he, when I sent this to Pastor Steve yesterday, I accidentally called Pastor Luis on, what do you call it, FaceTime? And I quick hung up, and he sent a message back, and I told him everything was fine, but that I had just sent him, and I told him that we're interested in coming over there for a missions trip, and he is all excited. It was all in caps. Thank you so much. Looking forward to hearing from you. So he's excited about our church coming over there.
That's cool. So it's nice for our church to have a connection where we can do missions trips on a regular basis somewhere that we know and that we know is legitimate. So anyway, I really want you guys to be praying about this. And if God leads you to go this direction and do this, I really want you to be obedient and do that. And also, for some of you, you may say, I don't really feel called to go on a trip, but I do want to help sponsor someone or to help someone financially. The cost of this trip is probably going to be between, would you say, $800 and $1,000?
Yeah. Probably.
And that's going to be your expenses there in Honduras, and also it'll be your airline ticket to get there. So it'll cover the whole thing. And so that's not really too bad, considering, and there's going to be plenty of time to save up. So we have just a little under a year before we're going to be going, and so you guys can be saving your money up and getting things ready. But anyway, I just want to open up all those possibilities that you can fund a project, you can fund a student, you can help pay someone's way, you can start saving your money and go yourself, however you want to do it. But if you are interested and you feel like God's calling you to do that, I really want you to come see me or see Emmy, and we'll start kind of making a rough list of the people who would like to go. And we'll start getting a team together, because I think this is going to be a great opportunity. You guys with us on this?
Amen.
Cool. All right. So what I'd like to do is just pray over everyone and actually, yeah, Karen?
Emmy, did they have shoe boxes?
Yes.
Okay.
The capital city, Tegucigalpa, or however you say that
you
funny
right.
name.
That's close enough, yeah.
They got shoe boxes after we were there. I saw that you posted it, I think, that shoe boxes went there. And those kids were, I know, were excited. I thought that was pretty neat. And just real quick, I would encourage anybody that can or that feels called to go, even some that don't feel they're called to go. No, I'm kidding, Judy.
You looked right at her, didn't you?
Yeah. Go if you can, because it's an amazing experience. You won't regret it.
So I'm going to stretch you one more time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't tell you about this.
Yeah.
But I would like you, if you would, to pray over everybody here tonight.
Okay.
That God just solidifies this in their hearts and that he prepares them for whatever he has for them. Can
okay.
you do that?
I can.
All right.
Okay. Okay. Father, we come to you just now thanking you, Lord, for your great love and your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, that this congregation was so generous and giving that I was able to go to Honduras. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in the hearts of each one of us, Lord, that we will put you first in everything, forget who we are, and that you are the one that we are all about. And I just pray, Lord, that as we work towards this mission trip, Lord, that everything will come together. And Lord, that we will be able to go and give you glory and honor and praise and reach those people for you, Lord Jesus, just to bless them in their everyday life, and Lord, and also for spiritual needs. I just thank you again, Heavenly Father, for what you have done there, what you have done in my life, in my heart. I thank you, Jesus. We ask your blessing upon all of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to thank all of you for coming tonight. Continue to pray about this. And if you have anything you want to talk to us about tonight, or if you know you want to go, please let us know. We're going to stay up here. So we'll be here to talk to you tonight. Thanks again for coming. God bless
okay.
all of you.
Mm-hmm.